The theme of this morning, and I was noticing as we were praying before service how there was a unique anointing here. It didn't feel violent. It felt sweet and present. You know, sometimes you can actually feel the difference in the way the Holy Spirit manifests. This morning's theme is life or flesh, and this is number 6 in the righteousness themes that we've been teaching on. We want to go to Romans 8 and start in Romans 8, and want to talk about some of the things that occur in Romans 8. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's not in, that's added from some of the manuscripts. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin or judged sin in the flesh. That's where it needs to be judged, folks, by the way. It needs to be judged in the flesh. That's what Jesus did. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word walk in that verse is in one of the continuing tenses. So it's talking about walking continuously, not after the flesh, and walking continuously after the Spirit. Okay? Now, later on, we're going to discuss, it tells us how to do that. I hate it when people tell me things that the Bible says you're supposed to do. You should do this, and then they never tell you how you're supposed, you know, like, what's the resource to do that? What's the tool to do that? More stronger willpower? Look out, right? You don't want that conclusion. Okay, but this specifically says the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but continuously walk after the Spirit. Now I'm going to do something. I don't normally do this, but I thought this was really good. This is the old Scofield. And I want to read to you just the old Scofield notes, because some of this really good. Some of them is you know, has its particular point of view, but some of it is really good. And this is one of the things that's really good. I wanted to read. This is from the old Scofield notes about the verses that I just read, Romans 1. It says, hitherto in Romans, the Holy Spirit has been mentioned but one time in Romans 5:5, and that's the verse that says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us, is what he's quoting there. He said, hitherto, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit has only been mentioned one time in those chapters in Romans 5:5. He said, in this chapter, referring to Romans 8, he, the Holy Spirit, is mentioned 19 times. I didn't count them. I'm reading you the note. He is mentioned 19 times. Redemption is by blood and by power. Romans 3:21 through 5:11. And personally, if I was writing the note, I would say from Romans 3 to Romans 6. This statement is true. From Romans 3 to Romans 6 speaks of the redemptive price that Jesus paid. Romans 8 speaks about redemptive power. In other words, the power to live what Jesus did. I thought that was a very succinct verse. Don't you? You know, because and if you think about it, so when we look at Romans and what I've been giving you here in these messages one step at a time, it's like Paul is giving us, he starts out in Romans 3, we've talked about all this, about this is God's righteousness given to us, okay? He starts talking about that righteousness is a gift. He starts talking about the fact, like Abraham, that we can receive that gift and give that gift. But he enters in Romans 5, and he ends up with this amazing scripture, which is by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so he brings us to the point where he says this righteousness is given to us as a gift in such a way that it changes who we are. It changes the very essence of our being, okay? And it gives us a nature, and that nature is called righteous. That nature means, that word means it looks like God looks on the inside. He's changed that corrupt nature when you were born again that wants to hurt people and cheat people and exclude people. He's changed that to God's nature, God's love. is inside of you. And so he makes these big points in Romans 3 and Romans 4. And then he, to me, the reason I would include 6 is because he comes out with this huge statement about our old man was crucified with Christ. Jesus went to the cross. You went to the cross. Your old man went to the cross. That's an amazing statement. And then he ends up specifically with that one verse in Romans 6, which you can put that up there, Danny. The one that Romans in the notes, Romans 6:6 in the Amplified. Romans 6:6, and it's already up there. She put it up there. It's right there in the corner. Okay, that's up. He's got it up. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. He changed our nature, and then he gave us our body back as dead to sin. Okay, that's amazing. Okay. These are all things that Jesus has done. But Scofield was pointing out is this is all the things that Jesus did. This is the price that has been paid. This is something you can learn and receive. But then he ends up with saying the Holy Ghost was only mentioned one time in Romans 5:5. But in Romans 8, he's now mentioned 19 times. You might want to go count them. I didn't. I just read the note because I thought the point. You can see that Romans 8 is full of he, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the law, the Spirit of life, Spirit, Spirit. And so you need to get that. See, what Scofield's pointing out is redemption is because of the blood and the price that was paid, but that is carried out in our life and in this world by the power of the Spirit. It's by blood and power. And Romans 8 is talking about the power aspect of how this is worked out. He's taken all the stuff that he's told us about who we are, that we're righteous, that all these things are that way. He's taken all that and he's saying, here's how this works out in the real world. Here's how the Holy Spirit administers this in the real world. And folks, all these testimonies that occurred this morning are all about you letting what's in you out. You've got to be free, and I'm not saying this like you have to, I'm saying this for this to work effectively. You've got to lose the fact that you've got to create this or you've got to get it to give it away. Jesus got it and gave it to you. What you have to do is realize who you are and then release that. Okay, are you following that? That's a very subtle but a very important distinction. The Christian life trying to get all these things is not fun. But a Christian life where you realize who you are and release who you are is a whole lot of fun. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, I gave you some details. That's kind of the preface in all this. I gave you some details up here just to back this up. But that's where we're going. Romans 8 is the power of the Spirit and the release of what Jesus purchased for. Does that make sense to you? Romans 3, 4, 5, and 6 is about the price that Jesus paid and what he did. And then 7, which we talked about last week, is don't get under the law if you want to wreck this. If you want to wreck this good, get under the law, okay? If you want to stay free, don't get under the law. And then Romans 8 is redemptive power. This is how it works in real life. Because you can know all this stuff, and without the power of God, you don't see this stuff. The power of God is the implementer. He, the Holy Spirit, is the implementer of all these things. Now, there's a couple of details that I wanted to talk about in Romans 8 that may help you understand. I hope this doesn't overburden you. Romans 6:6, the emphasis, there's one word that Paul switches to that you've got to have a little bit of understanding. Maybe this will help you. And that word is the word flesh. Okay, he uses several words, and in order to really understand the points that he's making, you've got to have some meanings associated with the word. Okay, because flesh, what does that mean exactly? You know, what does that mean? So you've got to get the point of Romans 8. You've got to have some understanding about this word flesh and what it means. He starts out in 6. The Amplified brings this out. Our old man was, which is to me, is starting to refer to the nature. He's saying you were changed on the inside, was nailed to the cross. And the result of that is our body, which is the instrument of sin, was made useless for serving sin. That's big, okay? Because what you want to know, this is the issue that, right? This, you're not fighting with who you are. Who you are wants to do the right thing. Romans 8 and 7 and all these are talking about how the law of sin and death tries to lure a believer out of this, okay? So he says our bodies is converted. Now, the word flesh has a lot of meanings. If you go to Acts 2:17, it has a very broad meaning, and I'll show you this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. One of the meanings of flesh is all of mankind. So it has a very large, general meaning. But I submit to you that when Paul is using the word flesh in Romans 5, 6, and 7, he has used the word body over and over and over again. He started out in Romans 6 that the body of sin might be destroyed. He goes on in verse 10, 12, 13 in those passages, let not sin reign where? In your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And then he goes on and says, don't yield your members to unrighteousness, to sin. Members there, the Greek word means physical parts of your body, okay, if you look it up. So when it says don't yield your members, it's talking about don't let parts of your body become expressions for the law of sin and death. But, and I don't think I listed this because this is, you know, as someone said, this is so so big that it's hard to condense it down. That's one of the issues in discussing this. But in Romans 5:12, it says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. So when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. That's where it was. Now, when Adam sinned, he also died. When Jesus came, we are now born again, and he made us alive. My point is, sin is in the world, okay? Now, he goes to great lengths to show us that our nature is now changed, and that the implication or the thing you're dealing with is your body. So the picture is, God is on the inside of you. You are now righteous. You look like Jesus on the inside of you. That's what Ephesians and Colossians says. You look like Jesus, the nature of God. Colossians uses words like, you know, and put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you look like God on the inside. Jesus is on the inside. You have a physical body which he gave you, the gift of that body now being dead to sin. Okay? That's huge. But where is sin? According to Romans 5:12, by one man's offense, sin entered the world is where sin is. And this is all, if you haven't heard this, you know, a lot of people will teach you that sin's inside of you, and it's not, okay? Your nature is born again and renewed. It's out here. But out here, it tries to touch you from out here to this out here. That's how it works, okay? So you've got to, he gave us all of these things, and flesh. I gave you a definition. Do some of you have your outline? I mean, this may be important on some of these points that we make. I get on the outline. This is Dr. Z's definition of the word flesh. The word flesh, it's a metonym. All you guys, I'm sorry, it's scholar speak. You can't help it. It's hard to weed it out, you know. Metonymically means flesh is used for the body or the corpus. A metonym is a word used in place of another word. Synonyms, a word mean the same. Antonyms, a word mean different. Metonym is a word that is used in place of another word. In English, a common metonym on the news, you hear this statement, the White House said today. Do they really mean that the building on 1600 Pennsylvania spoke? No. White House in that phrase is a metonym for the president said. Okay? Well, in Greek, flesh is a metonym for the body. That's what Dr. Z says. So you kind of get, it kind of brings all this, you go, oh yeah, but it kind of brings all this back to, I'm fixed, okay? I've got a body, that body's given me a gift through Jesus of being dead to sin. Sin is out here in the world, and I get to choose what's going to live in my mortal body. I get to choose that. This is huge. This is huge. Big too, isn't it? Amen. So, and of course, now let's go back and read the first four verses of Romans. Now, with all that context, let's read the first four verses of Romans 8 again. Can we go back there? Okay. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who which are in Christ Jesus. And again, that next phrase is not in, it's added in some of the manuscripts. The ESV actually leaves that phrase out, by the way. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Now stop there for a minute. See, the whole deal is the law of the Spirit of, it doesn't say the law of the Spirit of life is freeing you. It doesn't say the law of the Spirit of life will free you at some point in the future. The grammar in the Greek says the law of the Spirit of life has freed us. You are free sitting in that chair. I don't care what you're struggling with. You are free sitting in that chair. You say, but I still got all these symptoms. When you really understand this, you'll realize how you can stop all that, okay, when you really understand this. So the law of the Spirit of life, you're not going to be free. You're not being free. You have been freed. And the way this really works in your life is when you begin to see yourself as, I have been freed. Doesn't matter what you're doing externally, when you begin to see that you have been freed inside, that you are free right where you are, even if you're making a bad choice, you're still free. Okay, when you start to see that, then you see this law of the Spirit of life, this power, start to flow to that need. Praise the Lord. For what the law could not do, and we talked about that last week, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's what I really like. If he had just condemned sin in the Spirit, that'd be great, but that doesn't really help me. What I needed him to do was condemn it in the flesh. Because that's what the issue, and you notice he changes his language a lot, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, now, so we get to walk continuously and have this law of the Spirit of life flow in us. With this understanding of flesh being a metonym for body and kind of using that thought, and I think that's what's going on. And you say, why do you think that? Because in 6, he mentions body over and over and over again. So when he switches to flesh, there's a secondary meaning to flesh, which means material as opposed to spiritual. What you can see as opposed to spirit. Okay, so when you put all that together, I think it's a fair assumption that he's not talking about mankind in general, since he's used the word body 4 or 5 times in those 5 chapters. So that's why I'm giving you that, okay, that when he's talking about flesh, he's talking about, in all probability, your mortal body, okay? Now, verse 5, let's go on from there. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, folks, if you never got this before, get this now. This is the gateway. Jesus is the door, and here's the deal. Let's break this down for a minute. It's actually in the Greek, it's not an adverb. Carnally is not an adverb. And minded, here's a couple things, okay? It's a noun. And guess what word it is underneath the word carnal in this verse? Anybody got a guess? Flesh. And it's a noun in that verse. And what the verse is literally saying, now minded, let's talk about that for a moment, because there's several Greek words for mind. There's the Greek word for this pound and a half of gray matter or whatever. Okay, there's that word for mind, but there's another word for mind that means how you think about something, your mindsets, your thinking. This word minded here is the word for your thinking, your mindsets. So what it's saying is, for to be flesh in your thinking is death. Now, you should be going, oh. See, the release of this, you are the gatekeeper. Jesus is the door. He gave this to you. He does this, but he recreated you on the inside, and he said, do you want what's here to come out into your mortal body and to the world around you? He said, Paul, he explained the whole thing. He said, then if you want death in your life, just think like the world. Think according to the flesh. Think like your body thinks. and you can loose death on your life. But then he says, and it's the same phraseology, but it's spiritually is not an adverb, it's a noun, and it literally says, but to be spirit in your thinking is life. And see, this is so cool, because what it's really saying is this is why you study, this is why you listen to YouTube videos if you do that kind of stuff, this is why you come to church, this is why we teach the word, because this whole thing, actually, we're at some point, maybe next week or sometime, we'll go into this, because what this is really speaking to is transformation. And I think a lot of times people really underestimate what transformation is and the power of it in your mind. Because what this is saying is, it doesn't even say it releases death. It says to be flesh in your thinking, in your mindsets, is death. That's what releases the death. The world says, the world says you're thus and so. And God says, no, you're not. And you get to choose. Which are you going to believe? You're going to believe the doctor says you're dying, and Jesus says you're healed. Okay? Which are you going to choose? You're going to choose flesh thinking, natural thinking, worldly thinking, or are you going to choose spirit thinking, what God says? This is big, isn't it? Now, the cool thing about this is that the Holy Spirit is the driver of this thinking, because I'm absolutely convinced that we could go through a day and not even be partially aware of how many times we've done flesh thinking in our life. The Holy Spirit's the driver of this, and that's why I want to talk to you about this, is because you can have flesh thinking in your life and have no idea that it's in your life. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you're in the flesh. That's not my point. I'm just saying you need the Holy Spirit as the driver to this. You need the Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder and say, you know that thought you just thought right there? Yes, sir. That's flesh thinking. You need that. Because here's the good and bad news. I think it's good news. Some people think it's bad news. I think it's good news. It's good news. You're not smart enough to figure this out. That's the truth of the matter. You're not clever enough to figure this out. But you have someone inside of you who is clever enough to figure this out, who will happily tell you what he's already figured out. Now, let me show you that. Let's turn to, did you put this in, Rena, Gina, somebody? 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13, did we put that in? Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13. Now, look at this verse. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, capital S, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Isn't that a statement? Is that Paul was saying that you don't even know yourself. The only person that really knows you is your spirit man. The spirit of man that is within you, which is in him. Even so, now look at this last verse. The things of God knoweth what? No man but the Spirit of God. Do you realize that the Scripture declares that the Holy Spirit understands how God thinks? This is huge, because we don't. There's verses that say, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Does that make sense to you? But God put his Spirit, this law of the Spirit of life, this new nature inside of you, he put it inside of you because the Holy Spirit gets it. He knows. Do you realize what that verse is saying? It says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit knows how God thinks. And if you want a cool experience, just take something that's going on in your life and say, God, especially something that's trouble, say, God, would you please show me how you see this? Would you please show me how you see this? Oh, this will turn you on your ear. because we're running around talking natural talk, talking this, and I'm not condemning this. I'm just saying we're talking natural talk. We're talking what the doctor said. We're talking this. We're talking that. And, you know, and what we need is when you're going through a crisis in your life, one of the greatest things is to say, Holy Spirit, would you please show me this thing that I'm going through? Would you show me this as God sees it? Because this verse declares is you don't know. It's talking about your natural man. You don't know in your natural man the thinking of God. Nobody does, but it says the Holy Ghost does. Oh, this is good, isn't it? And folks, it'll start a revolution in your life. Two things will start a revolution in your life, and there he comes. Two things will start a revolution in your life. One, I got distracted. It's my grandson, I'm sorry. What am I gonna say? I got distracted. I really did get distracted. Oh, that's hysterical. Two things will cause a revolution. One is when you realize, if you'll just say, God, show me flesh thinking in my mind. Show me this flesh thinking. Show me when I'm doing flesh thinking. And the other thing is when you're going through a crisis, the Holy Spirit, show me this thing in my life like you, like God sees it. Because your word says, I don't see it like he sees it. But it says, you see it exactly like God sees it. Is that big? That's huge. The Holy Spirit knows how God thinks about things. That's what that verse is saying. Wouldn't you like to know how God thinks about things? It's the way out of everything. You know, Moses is standing there at the Red Sea, you know, and Pharaoh's coming down his backside, you know, and he's going, ah, God, you know, and he's saying, God, the Egyptians, the Egyptians. What was God's answer? Wherefore criest thou unto me? But extend the rod of God, divide the sea and go over. Woohoo! That's a different thought. See, that kind of thinking is available to you when you tune into this. That kind of things that will change the natural atmosphere around you. Oh, God, they said this, they said this, they said this. Do you see where I'm getting this? You waste a lot of time with this stewing and fretting and emotional responses to things when you could just go, I'm going through this, Lord. This is really hard. This is a bad time, Lord. I'm going through this. Would you show me how you think about this? And then hold on to your hat. Hold on to your hat, because you're going to see and hear some things that are going to turn you on your ear. And then what happens? Well, according to Romans 8, what happens at that point, now you have flesh thinking and spirit thinking. Which are you going to agree with? Which are you going to line up with? Which are you going to speak? Which are you going to decree? And see, the neat thing about this is when I first learned this aspect of truth, I learned it from the side of that the power was in the words, and there's a lot of truth in all these things. But what I'm saying to you this morning is the Holy Spirit is the driver of this truth. Oh, this is good. See, you don't have to figure it out. He's inside of you. And you walk out of here saying, hey, God knows, if you're going through something, God knows, wouldn't you like to know? Did anyone ever see Jesus with a problem? Oh, my gosh. Lord, you don't understand. We've only got one loaf of bread and there are 5,000 people here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what are we going to do now? You know, flesh thinking, right? What does Jesus say? You give them to eat. You fix it. What am I going to do, Lord? Right? That's the way we respond. But Jesus said to them, you fix it. Finally, one of them was smart enough to come back and say, well, I got this loaf and a few fish, you know. And you know, I bet you Jesus was thinking, finally, someone is at least smart enough to bring a seed. You know, somebody was smart enough to bring something, you know, to the table instead of, what are we going to do, you know? Well, I mean, this is real life, isn't it? That's what you're tempted to do in crisis, is to go, woo. And, you know, one of the things you learn over time is, as God teaches you, is you learn to make that quicker response, you know, back to God. God, how do you see this? Show me how you think about this. Now, in the beginning, I tried to apply all these principles as principles, and they work as principles, but this is much easier. Just turn to the Holy Spirit and apply the principle out of His power. Amen? So the gatekeeper, this is the truth of Romans 8. The gatekeeper is flesh thinking is death, spirit thinking is life. It's that simple. And so what does that tell you? It tells you about the YouTube videos you listen to, the preaching that you listen to. You come to church. Why do you think we have sermons? It's not for me to have something else to say. It's to give you these things so that you begin every Sunday when you come in here, whether you realize it or not, the Holy Ghost is after flesh thinking in your mind. That's why you preach. So to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity for you to say, wow, I've never thought about that. Look at that point. I've never seen that point quite like that. And that's why we go to great lengths to give you study outlines and CDs and so forth. You know, I don't know how many of you go home, but I'm hoping that some of you go home and actually study these things and actually listen and study these things. If you don't, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, flesh thinking, how old are you? How many years did you have to build up the flesh thinking? Do you really think that flesh thinking is going to go away just because you got a revelation? It doesn't. That revelation has to permeate your mind until, guess what? Until your mind thinks His thoughts. And when your mind thinks His thoughts, guess what happens? The law of the Spirit of life comes forth, because that's what it says. Spirit thinking is life. So that's why you come, folks. You're looking, when you come in here on Sunday mornings, you should be saying, God, if there's any flesh thinking, show it to me, Lord. If there's any new insight that I need, show it to me, Lord. And when I come here, I don't always have everything that God wants to do. Sometimes a prophetic word will say something. You know, like this morning, there was the prophetic kind of went down the pathway of testimonies, you know? You with me? Yes. Praise the Lord. Good to see Peter here. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Clapping for Peter. Good. We don't see him that often. Praise the Lord. All right. Now this is, let's go back to Romans 8 and we'll finish this up for today. And we'll go on with this. Romans 8, let's jump down to verse 7 through 11. Okay. Is that clear? Is that clear? Flesh thinking is what? Death. Spirit thinking is what? Life. Don't forget. The revelation is the seed. You work with the revelation until your thoughts become His thoughts. When your thoughts become His thoughts, that's when you're transformed. You're not transformed with just a revelation. You're not transformed until His thoughts become your thoughts. Because guess what happens when His thoughts become your thoughts? Your actions start to be His actions in that order. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Romans 8, verse 7. Let's read this. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind, or the flesh mind, is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, he's saying, hey guys, Christian people, Rome, you, those of you in the flesh cannot please God. And then he adds this interesting statement behind that. But you're not in the flesh. See, what he was saying was, you're a believer, you're capable of flesh thinking, but he was saying, as to your nature, he turns it around immediately and says, but you're not in the flesh. What are you? But you are in the Spirit is who you are. You are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Spirit of God in you, guys, if you're born again? Amen. The Holy Spirit's there. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We've talked about that verse in other contexts. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also... Tell me what this word means. We've talked about it. Quicken. What does it mean? Give resurrection life. It's the word in the New Testament for the raising of the dead. Okay? Who's dead? Your old man. Okay? It's the raising of the dead. So if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall also give resurrection life to what? He brings it all back to the body, doesn't he? In Romans 8. Give resurrection life to your mortal body by what? By his Spirit that is where? That dwells inside of you. Okay? So that's the theme of Romans 8. Romans 8 is now talking to us about redemption power, whereas 3, 4, 5, 6 is talking about redemption price, what Jesus did. And it's so cool because when you start to understand this, and you talk about a place where we need to rid ourselves of flesh thinking, is to start to see us as who we are. Man, and I don't think we've exhausted this subject. I've just given you the Romans type of thing here. We haven't begun to exhaust this subject because this is a huge subject. But this thing is saying, do you realize that? That God is saying, the Holy Ghost, he's saying, I put my Spirit inside of you. My Spirit knows exactly how I think. Are you accessing it? You want to know what God thinks? Holy Ghost, show me. Right? Oh, this is so cool. Show me on the inside. Show me what I really look like. And he starts talking to you about all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, as he does, one point at a time, flesh thinking dies. Spirit thinking takes his place. And then spirit thinking does what? Releases this law of the Spirit of life that's already inside of you. The freedom that's already there starts to come out into your mortal body. And better yet, not just your mortal body, but it starts to come out to the world around you. And that's what's going on right now. That's what these testimonies are born out of. The Spirit of God is saying to all of us, you can pray for the sick. You can speak the word. You can go call these things. It's not hard. It's just God, Jesus, wanting out in the outside world. And as we go forward with this, this is a great tool. Righteousness is a great understanding, because once you get who you are, you realize that the law of the Spirit of life is within you, that you have been freed, that you look like Jesus on the inside, that you're born again, remade in his image, according to Ephesians and Colossians. And I think some of those verses, we'll cover some of those more, because I think those reinforces. But that's what you should be getting out of this, is it's no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you, and he wants out. You say, well, let him come out then. He gave you the gatekeeper. He gave you to be the gatekeeper to let him out. You say, how is that? By changing your flesh thinking to spirit thinking. And the moment you change to spirit thinking, boom, power of God flows. You want to see this power of God flow in your life? Just get spirit thinking about how God feels about power flowing out of your life. As long as power is this thing of power's out here, and I'm here, and sometimes power shows up, and I'm not sure why, the great mystery, you know. And I'm not sure why, as long as you're doing all that, some little things here and there will come. But when you understand that it's inside of you, he's inside of you, power's inside of you. When you understand that, then you realize, well, how do I get it out? Spirit thinking. Well, what's spirit thinking? It's open invitation, as far as I can tell. And it's as near as I can tell, it's an open book test. Yeah, I really. It's inside it. He's inside of you. It's an open book test. I mean, you know, it's actually so good that I think, honestly, most Christians take it for granted, don't you? Because it's so good, and he's made it so attainable and so easy to walk in that most of us don't really take it for granted for the great grace that it is. It's so cool. Lord, how do you think about this? All right, now, praise the Lord. Okay, so I think we'll stop there for now.